B-Pod Studios.
I'm just trying to spell it out for the listeners.
Felger and Mav.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B.
Boob.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mav.
Q-U-I-T quit.
Okay, thank you. No, spell up for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Fourth and final hour, Felger and Maz. Ken Mike's out. Jim Murray here alongside. Joe Murray here for headlines. Murray and Murray. The Patriots quarterback situation has been really one of the primary topics all offseason long here. All COVID long. On 98.5 The Sports Hub and on Felger and Maz in varying degrees. Tom Brady's departure. What were the Patriots going to do in the draft? The development of Jarrett Stidham. The re-signing of Brian Hoyer. Now the arrival of Cam Newton. All been related to the same thing. And when you really think about it, Brady's departure, and I know we said this at the time, but it really made things so much more interesting for the Patriots in their quarterback situation than it ever has before, or at least in a long, long time. So just think of all these possibilities. How is this going to work? How's it going to work? How's it going to work with Cam Newton and Bill Belichick? And if they tailor the offense, how's it going to work there? Are they going to tailor it to Newton and completely ignore all the time they put in with Stidham in the last year? Are they going to tailor it to each individual guy and have two totally different quarterbacks? How is that going to work? I mean, to me, it's a fascinating discussion. Cam Newton's arrival here added an element to this story that spiced it up even further. It was good enough just in the aftermath of Brady and who was going to follow Brady. There was enough there. Plenty. But now you add Cam Newton to the mix? Boy, the possibilities for the ways this could go are all over the place. There are a million directions this thing could go. I am eager to see how this thing plays out. I think Newton's here to start, and they're going to tailor the offense to him. I don't see how you don't. But if you believe that, then you have to believe that they've lost a significant amount of faith in Jarrett Stidham. Sean's in Manchester. Sean, go ahead.
Yeah, I kind of agree with a few callers back. Bill has been doing running back by committee for years. During all this COVID stuff, which is just, everything is weird this season anyways, I think it would be easy for Bill to be like, ah, screw it. Let me try a new trick and see what I can do.
Sean, do you really believe, do you really, I'm going to put you on hold. Do you really believe?
This is a bit. I refuse to believe that people actually believe
this. Do you really believe that Bill Belichick is going to rotate quarterbacks like he does running backs, Sean?
I don't necessarily think that he wants to just rotate them. I think he wants to be able to maybe have two healthy guys. Somebody gets sick and goes down during the pandemic. He's got another guy that's had a little bit of his feet in the fire. You're not completely burning one guy out trial by fire style. You're giving him both a taste. You're throwing all the defenses off. Nobody knows what to expect.
Sean, I'll tell you what. I'm going to let you go.
Don't even entertain it. It's stupid. But if that was going around Belichick's mind, if I'm Cam Newton, I say, hey, you're not going to do any gimmicky crap, are you? Like, you're signing me because you know I'm going to be the starter. I'm Cam Newton. I was the MVP of the league 5 years ago. I can assure you I'm healthy. The answer is to that is yeah. That's why we're signing you. You're going to be the starter. You're not going to be
it's not the Florida Gators offense.
Yeah, you know, changing week to week, and this week it's going to be Brian Hoyer a little bit. Oh, no, sorry, Cam. You're not going to get as many reps as you got last week. We need to get Stidham in there, too. It's not going to happen. This is ridiculous.
I mean, if this were an issue purely of depth, and like with COVID and wanting to have bodies, first of all, they're going to carry three, not two. Okay, they're going to carry three quarterbacks. Secondly, if it really was about continuity and just then you keep Hoyer and Stidham, those two guys. Now one goes down, you put the other in, you get the same offense, boom. It's like what Baltimore has done. I love what Baltimore has done. They've committed to Lamar Jackson, so who did they get to back him up? Robert Griffin III. Doesn't that make perfect sense? You want to be able to run the same offense. You don't want to flip the whole thing upside down. If your starter goes down, you plug in the backup, you run the same offense. That makes sense. Newton to Stidham? Does not. Newton to Hoyer? Does not. Especially when Stidham is a fourth-round draft pick, a guy in theory that they like, that doesn't make sense. I don't know how you make that work, which, again, is part of the reason I'm sort of fascinated by it, because I do look at it and say, how's Bill going to do this? How's he going to do it?
We all know everyone believes he's a genius.
So how's he going to do it? Mike's in a car. Mike, what do you got?
Hey, guys, look, this is probably going to sound stupid, but is there anything to protecting Stidham for a year and not having him be the guy who comes in as a starting quarterback after Brady, knowing the kind of pressure that that's going to mount? And this kid's young. Maybe give him one more year of development, bring in somebody who's a veteran like Cam and just sign him to a one-year deal. And then if everything works out, great. But if it doesn't, fine. Then we're ready for the kid the next year.
Okay, so, Mike, I like the idea that it means Stidham is not ready. And in theory, that is good. Right, again, Stidham needs another year, and I'll go back to something Greg Bedard said at the beginning of the offseason, which was they like Stidham. They think he's at about the same point Garoppolo was after year one. Garoppolo didn't play until after year two, meaning he needed another year of development. Fine, but in Garoppolo's case, the guy in front of him was still the same guy. It was Tom Brady. They ran the same offense, and Garoppolo, all he had to do was sort of soak it in for another year. If Cam Newton is now the guy in front of them, are they going to run the same offense?
No, and he's not going to learn anything from him. He would have been better off learning it from Brady. I agree with you there.
Okay, so this is my point, is that the Newton part doesn't fit. In a lot of ways, it doesn't fit as it pertains to Jarrett Stidham. It doesn't fit. Murray, I know, believes firmly Stidham's not the guy, so he thinks plain and simple. And Murray, forgive me if I'm putting words in your mouth.
No, that's it.
But plain and simple, it doesn't matter if they change the offense because they don't think Stidham's the guy anyway.
Right.
So they'll start fresh with someone after Newton's gone.
Yeah.
That's it. I mean, maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's that simple. Maybe they don't believe in Stidham. They're telling everyone they do, but they don't. I don't know. I don't see the connection. I don't see how all the pieces fit. I don't. Mike is in Bedford. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to say I think it is coronavirus related. When you can get them for that kind of a deal, potentially just, what was it, $500,000 at the minimum? You know, you got to take that chance. And if, you know, we may not have an injury at quarterback, but another team will. And then, you know, better have Cam than not be prepared.
So, Mike, do you think he's going to back up?
I think Cam's going to end up starting.
Okay, but if he's going to start, then don't you have to tailor the offense to him? And so you're just taking a flyer and going to completely flip your offense around?
No, I think that at this point,
it doesn't fit.
I think with either quarterback that starts, I think that they would, you know, do a little dump passes, you know, screen passes, you know, stuff like that.
Okay, so simple throws. So sort of that gets back to the whole Norv Turner thing. And when I say it doesn't fit, Belichick will figure out a way. Whatever he decides, he'll figure out a way to make the guy the best player he can make him. But then again, he'll do so at the expense of Stidham. I'm eager to see, what does Bill sacrifice here? What does he sacrifice? When you really weigh it out, and to make it fit, what is he going to sacrifice? I think Allen in Florida wants to talk about Deshaun Watson. It says Deshaun Jackson.
No, it's probably Deshaun Jackson.
Who's Deshaun Jackson?
The Eagles wide receiver who posted.
Oh, Deshaun Jackson. That's right. Jeez, I didn't make the connection. Because it says Deshaun, D-E-S-H-A-U-N. Deshaun Jackson is D-E-S-E-A-N.
Correct.
Okay.
Either way, he's made headlines. I could understand why.
No. So I didn't make that connection. I'm sorry. I wasn't thinking of the wide receiver. I'm such an idiot. And I don't want to talk about Deshaun Jackson. Tom's in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, guys. Listen, I at the end of the day, I think the risk compared to the reward with Cam Newton is pretty simple, right? Not spending any money for somebody who was an MVP. And if, you know, worst case scenario, it doesn't work out and Cam Newton is trash with everything that's going on with him, then they have Stidham to fall back on. Like the last caller said, I think at the end of the day, they are going to start more with a 2001 type of offense where they're dinking and dunking and running short. But Cam gives that extra ability to have another runner on the other side. So if Cam Newton can hold it down, then, you know, obviously Belichick's going to start him. But the way that contract is structured at the end of the day, you know, he has nothing to lose, like you said.
No, he doesn't have anything to lose financially. He doesn't have anything to lose financially, but he might have something to lose as it pertains to Jarrett Stidham. This is sort of what I'm getting at, is that if you're going to bring in Newton and tailor it to Newton, well, then Stidham's development is going to take a hit because you're going to be working on different things to accentuate the talents and emphasize the talents of Cam Newton, which are completely different, not just from Tom Brady, but when you really look at it, Cam Newton is probably different than just about any quarterback that's ever played the position. Like, even if you wanted to say, well, Lamar Jackson runs, not the way Newton did. Lamar Jackson's speed. He's a speed runner. Newton, power. He was a power runner and speed on top of it. Don't get me wrong. But Newton can run over linebackers. Lamar Jackson doesn't do that. I don't know. It's just, again, a lot of moving pieces there. Bill's got to sacrifice something here if Cam Newton's his starter. If he cuts Newton in camp or at the end of camp, and again, Murray thinks that's an impossibility, and I don't blame him for thinking that way. I'm just telling you that Bill is sacrificing something here. I'm not sure what it is yet. I'm not sure what it is.
And Maz, just to throw this out here, the official transaction wire, Cam Newton has signed with the Patriots, meaning he must have passed a physical.
Okay, so there you go. The Newton signing now official. There you go. I want to get back to Jason Tatum, too. We'll add him to the discussion. We'll do that when we come back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
By and large, we don't remember the last segment.
Felger and Maz.
I mean, I don't remember what I said last segment. I don't remember what I said 60 seconds ago.
Felger and Maz.
You don't remember who we are or what we said last week. Yeah, but Felger, I'm the highlight of your show.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now, Scotty, the Celtics have title aspirations now. Do you think Jason Tatum is already now capable of carrying that best player on a championship team title?
Rachel, I really do. I think this has been a breakout season for Tatum. He started out this season sort of on a mission to separate himself from the other players who've grown and developed, as well as really showing some leadership, I think, by becoming an all-star this season. But his scoring was really starting to peak right there. He, again, separated himself a little bit from the other players to show that he was going to be the go-to guy, the offensive leader for that team. And I think if this team is to make a run, it has to rely on Tatum's ability to carry them offensively. And I feel like he's totally ready.
Scottie Pippen on with Rachel Nichols, The Jump, and ESPN. I said this earlier. Scottie Pippen's opinion that we just played for you, sorry, to me is worthless. But I so disagreed with what he said that I felt compelled that we had to play it. That's how I felt. Really, I looked at it, I said, Jason Tatum is ready right now to take over a team and be the number one on a championship team. I think that that's nuts. Honestly, I think on some level it's unfair to Tatum.
It's premature. I mean, if he plays with any kind of consistency like the way that he was playing before the shutdown, then yeah, I believe it. But I mean, I think the biggest flaw to Jason Tatum's game since he's come to the league is that he's inconsistent. So it's too early to say that. I think that there's upside potential, sure, and he could do that, but it's just too early to say that he's that right now.
So that's generally how I feel, Murray. That, again, does he have the potential to be? Yeah. Yeah, I think he does. I mean, I think he's that good, and I think he's the guy. There's no two ways about it. His ceiling's higher than Jaylen Brown's. So, but that he's there right now, no way. He's not there yet. Don't kid yourself. But if for no other reason than to get Murray to do his impression shortly, Luke in Vermont. Haven't talked to him in a long time on Jason Tatum. What do you got, Luke?
So, Maz, I think he's projecting Pippen as saying that if the Celtics are to do it, then Tatum will have to emerge to be that guy, that's like their only route. But I agree with a couple things you said, that Kemba Walker can be no higher than the third best player on the team if they're going to win it.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's at the highest, and probably if they're going to win it, he'll probably be the fourth best. The three wings will carry him to a championship if that happens, in order probably Tatum, Hayward, Brown, then Kemba. And that's not to say he won't hit shots at the end of the game like Joe Murray was saying, but he's not going – he'll be the fourth most significant piece. But I think the Celtics are one of the rare teams. I'm not saying they're the Pistons, but like – I agree with you, Matt. The most traditional way to win an NBA championship is to have the best player in the league. But I think the Celtics, similar to the Spurs and the pre-KD Warriors, have enough talent that the coaching might be able to be a factor and system might be able to be a little bit of a factor, that they have enough talent with the little edge that they have with the coaching / system that Tatum being the best player, if they are a title contender or do win a championship, automatically gets elevated to like the top five status, even though he probably isn't.
I see.
Kind of
gotcha.
Like why?
Yeah. So look,
you follow
look.
It?
Yeah. Of course, I follow it. Yep. That the and that is a classic case of the whole being greater than the sum of the parts. And yeah, all of a sudden, exactly. if the team is better, that Tatum gets elevated to a level that he really doesn't belong at, but that's okay. Like, I yeah. totally understand what you're... I want to ask you two quick questions before I let you go. One, and you get an answer quickly. One, you clearly think Hayward is a key piece.
Yep.
Okay, and secondly, yeah, I just want to make sure, you know, how you doing up there, right? We haven't talked to you in a while.
We're good, thank you.
All right, hang in there, Luke.
Yeah, we haven't talked to him since, I think, before the shutdown.
See, it's been a while, right?
Right.
Huge Celtics fan.
Forgot about that, but... That Vermont butt.
I was going to say, how would you summarize Luke and Vermont? Murray, dance, dance.
But they there you go. Whatever.
I just think the idea that Tatum is ready to be that guy right now.
No, it's premature.
Oh, please. He's not there yet. He's not there yet. Don't kid yourself. He's not there yet. Joe in New York. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, guys, real quick, I just want to correct the record. It was Jake and Raynham who gave you the tip about Stidham going to the wedding in Texas. I do not want to let Jake and Boston get away with taking credit for that.
Okay, good. Thank you.
My bad.
No, it's all good. My question is just about your preference for Kyrie over Kemba, Maz. I mean, if you look at their stats with the Celtics, they're very similar. Kyrie's stats are a bit better, but Kemba was fighting through injuries this year, and Kyrie has a much worse injury history, even though he's younger. Kemba's traditionally very healthy.
Joe, if they're both healthy, who's the better player?
Kyrie, no doubt. But Kyrie's an absolute pill, and you know this. Kemba is a better leader in the locker room. I think that more than offsets Kyrie's negative attitude, which just drags down the value of his skill so much.
Okay, so look, again, I don't like Kyrie's attitude either. And he is a pill. Complete pain in the ass. Talk about a diva and a high-maintenance pain in the ass. He's all of the above. He's impossible to like. Talent-wise, Kemba Walker shouldn't even be mentioned in the same sentence. He really shouldn't. It's just, it's not.
Better handle, and he obviously had, the big shot in the finals. So, but I don't know, one of the things I always liked about Kemba Walker up until this year was the availability factor. You know, so if you, never mind the fact that Kyrie is a pill and just, the worst. He was just always injured and always missing games pretty much since he's coming into the league. So Kemba Walker really never had that issue until this year. So that was the one thing that I always liked more about Kemba Walker than Kyrie Irving.
I'll give you, there are a million things. His makeup, his leadership, as you said, his availability, all true, 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 true. Kyrie has way more talent. He's a way better player. Way more talent, way better player.
I think Kemba's made Tatum look better this year.
Kemba's he's good.
Hey, who's made who look better?
Kemba's good.
Kyrie's great, yes.
Oh, you love Kemba Walker.
No, no.
Huh?
Who makes who look better?
Seriously, you love Kemba
Walker. Why can't
you
answer the question, though? Who makes who look better? Kemba made Tatum look better this year.
I disagree.
He did.
Tatum made Tatum look better this year. How did Kemba make Tatum look better?
He passes him the basketball.
Ooh.
He has more people. Listen, I understand Kyrie's one of the best ball handlers in basketball history and has had, what, one 40-point game that I remember with the Celtics? Kemba was very consistent this year.
So wait a minute.
He made everyone better around him. He did. Kyrie didn't.
Okay, so you're comparing Kemba to Kyrie in terms of making a guy better.
Yes.
So Tatum has gotten the ball more because of Kemba.
Yes.
Because Kemba's not as good as Kyrie.
No,
he sucks. He doesn't
Kyrie
have the ball more.
Kyrie the ball all the time and wants the ball all the time.
So I will say that but that's related to Kyrie. It's not related to Kemba. The departure of Kyrie has forced Tatum to take a bigger role, and he's answered for it. He's responded to it. That's not something to credit Kemba for. I don't think. Emmett in Boston, go. I'm serious. Emmett, go.
Kemba's better defensively.
Oh. Hey, guys. On Cam Newton, 2 points. First one, he's definitely here to start. And the second point, how Belichick's going to use him. Do you think he would use him almost like as a Russell Wilson instead of kind of running for contact, just running to, slide, get out of bounds, and then, try to unleash some deeper passes? Just curious your thoughts on that, if Cam Newton can be used like a Russell Wilson.
Yeah, so, Emmett, look, it's an interesting, he's an interesting guy to bring up Wilson because Wilson can run a lot, does run a lot, but I don't think Wilson ever puts himself really in a lot of harm's way.
He's got a low center of gravity. He's not exactly wee, but I don't know. I feel like just based on his size, he avoids any of the hits you've ever seen Russell Wilson take. I mean, he's gotten lit up a few times, but never to the extent you've seen.
Wilson has speed guys. The Patriots don't.
Yeah.
They don't have guys who can get downfield.
And then Wilson does. He gets out of bounds. He gets down. He slides. I think Newton got better at sliding a little bit later with the Panthers. But Wilson doesn't take – he's quicker than Newton.
Yeah.
Right? He's quicker. So
– I've just never – I mean, I don't know if I've ever seen a quarterback get punished like Cam Newton in all
the
years.
And I think Cam will get the calls.
I mean, he gets walloped.
Yeah.
And he'll get the calls here. Belichick will be on those refs all day long. He didn't get those calls in Carolina.
I mean, so he's 31, but it feels like he's 36. Doesn't it? Like,
yeah.
He's 35. Like, with the beating and the pounding he has taken, Cam Newton.
Joe brings up a good point. He mentioned that the other day, too. So I hadn't thought about that. You know, think of how many times you've seen him get lit up like he's a linebacker and no flag, right? So Bill is notorious for riding refs. That, I think, changes here. So if anyone tries to launch or take Cam Newton out the way that they have before, I don't think that happens here. Or at least you're going to see, if it does, you're going to see a flag.
Okay, but again,
influence.
But the flag won't preserve Newton any. I mean,
fair.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? So, assuming they keep coming and teams keep hitting him. If the flag serves as a deterrent, that's something different.
Sure.
So if there are a bunch called early, I think Bill's going to discourage Newton from taking hits. I think there are certain occasions where they'll sneak him or they'll be able to get him in a running situation and hope that he can run over a defensive back or something like that. But I don't think he wants him to take hits. But I do think they want him to run. And again, I come back to the same thing. How's Bill going to make this work? Like, what's he going to give up? The fit is fascinating. It is. It's from an X's and O's standpoint and also a personality standpoint, all of it. Because Newton is flamboyant. Bill's not. Typically, the culture of the Patriots is to not be flamboyant. And so how's that all going to work? How's that all going to fit? I think it's fascinating. I'm mostly interested in the X's and O's part of it, the football part of it. But you're talking about two very different ways to play the game and to play it well. And you have a quarterback that you've already invested a year of development into in Stidham that was under a Brady offense, for lack of a better word. Now you could have a Newton offense. I mean, to me, it's just one reason to really hope they play football, isn't it? I mean, what a great, interesting story the Patriots are going to be in the fall.
If nothing else, they became infinitely more interesting than they were going to be with Cam Newton.
I think it's dynamite. He has been a dynamite addition to that depth chart. And to me, he's here to start.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Know Felger and Mass.
Michael Felger, I don't know from a can of paint at all.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Did a little baseball earlier, too. We'll get back to the discussion here on Cam Newton, Jarrett Stidham. Cam Newton and the fit with the Patriots. The X's and O's fit. The on-the-field fit. How's that all going to work? How's it going to work? How do you play to Newton's strength and continue the development of Stidham? How do you make all that work? It's a fascinating discussion. I would say quarterback overall is always a fascinating discussion. When we were talking about Patrick Mahomes yesterday, now astronomical contract that he has with the Kansas City Chiefs. The idea of how much money do you commit to the position? How much is too much, even for a player like Mahomes? And whether or not the Chiefs are in danger of crossing that threshold in the coming years. This year and next year, the Chiefs will be fine. After that, they can always restructure. I get all of that. But at some point, is even a guy like Patrick Mahomes, can you pay him too much? The evidence suggests that if you commit over 13% of your payroll to your quarterback, you can't win a Super Bowl. I mean, that's what the evidence suggests. The question is whether or not it's really true. So, the quarterback always in that league. I mean, there's just so many different angles on that position, particularly with the Patriots now. We did touch on the Red Sox too quickly, which brings me to Tom and Quincy, our buddy. Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, Tony, that news today or yesterday about Eduardo Rodriguez being tested for, coming up positive tests for the COVID thing. One, that was annoying just because we didn't have much faith that he's not really a dependable guy yet.
Good word, Tom. Wondering, yep. Good word. He's not dependable.
Could he do 2 years in a row of that? We weren't sure. And that's one thing. The second thing was not when I heard that Devers was not, with the team. And the first thing I thought, I think similar to what you guys had mentioned a little while ago, was the first thing I thought is because he's kind of a little bit of a porker. And he's just, I thought that maybe he was maybe a little Sandoval action happening with him. I'm happy to hear that's not the case. I'm happy to hear they said he had 3 negative tests. But back to the Rodriguez thing, Tony. I'm still not convinced they're going to get the season started at all. But if they do, he was supposed to start the first game.
Correct.
Now he can't.
Correct.
Now he can't, so it goes to Eovaldi, right? So after Eovaldi, you deal with the names we've brought up before.
It gets thin very fast, Tom. Yep.
If Rodriguez is legitimately can't play and he's held for a certain amount of time, honest to God, after Weber, which I hate, where do you go from that point? Because they literally have nobody.
Yeah, so Tom, it could be Brian Johnson. I saw his name projected as a number 5 starter. I mean, once you get down there, forget it. It's over. Okay, it's over.
Yeah, outside of Perez, it's all question marks.
Right? I mean, even at a 60-game schedule, like even a guy like Martin Perez, Murray, I would tell you.
Is a question mark?
No, he is. He is. But you could get a little run out of him. Like, he could have a stretch where he has a good month. Even a good month and a half.
Yeah.
I think he did last year. And I think that he's the kind of guy that in a short burst, he could pitch well. And in a 60-game season, he could help. This is the whole point of that 60-game season. If you have Rodriguez, you have Eovaldi, and let's just throw Martin Perez in there for the hell of it. I'm going to tell you, I think Martin Perez is good. But in a 60-game season, if he has 5 good starts in a row, you're in it. You're in it. I mean, if they all have 5 good starts in a row, you're in it. Like, that's all it takes. And just a guy like Eduardo Rodriguez, it was such a great opportunity there for him. Just everybody's out. Here you go. You're the guy. 60 games now. Go. He got COVID. So was he careless? Now I sound like Felger, right? Was he careless about it? But I do wonder, because Rodriguez struck me as the kind of guy, to use Tom and Quincy's word, is unreliable. There's always something with that guy that pops in. And Devers, I felt like Cora challenged him, got him on the beam. And Pete Abraham threw the whole thing out about the weight issue with Devers. There is video of him taking grounders at third today. It looks to me like there's a little bit of a spare tire there around the midsection.
I don't know. He looks the same-ish. He does look a wee bit heavy.
I mean, he's got a baby Huey kind of body anyway.
Yeah.
So, but last year I thought he looked better. He looked better than he did 2018. So I just was hoping that those guys, there'd be no hiccups with those young guys and that they would be ready to take the next step. Okay? I haven't seen it from either one of those guys, and it's disappointing because it feels like that the Red Sox players, and again, maybe it's a problem that is rampant around all of baseball. The players aren't ready to play. They're not. They weren't ready. They clearly did nothing during COVID. The Spike King in Bridgewater on Jarrett Stidham. Go ahead.
What's up, guys? Listen, Pats Nation, the honeymoon phase, it's over. We need to be realistic. Jarrett Stidham is going to be your week one starter. Here's why. It's Cam versus time. This guy has less than 60 days to get acclimated with the roster and catch himself up to be the starter. And here's the biggest kicker. Week one and week four of the preseason, they're done. That's less time for Cam Newton to play with the number ones. And you know Jarrett Stidham's getting 50% of the reps in the preseason. I look at Cam Newton as your insurance policy. Let Stidham go out there. Let him rip it. If week three or week four comes, this guy throws a couple picks, doesn't look good, then Cam Newton becomes a starter. But I don't think there's enough time between right now and week one that Cam Newton can become the starter. But it's a great insurance policy.
So, Spike King,
win contract.
You believe Newton's here as a backup?
I believe he's a backup right now, but he's hungry to win a starting job. But it's Stidham's job to lose 100%.
Okay, I don't believe that. If it was Stidham's job to lose, honestly, I don't think they'd have brought Cam Newton in.
And given this wacky offseason, it's just an even playing field anyway. I don't think that Stidham has some sort of quote-unquote leg up, especially if they're going to be changing the offense, which I think that they're going to do because they've now signed Cam Newton.
I mean, I thought this was the whole idea of bringing Brian Hoyer in was to sort of support Stidham, right? So now Newton is kind of there to, you know, at least that's what the caller was alluding to. If you wanted to bring in a third quarterback, you could have brought in Cody Kessler. I just
random stiff, you know, like whoever.
Newton's here to start. He's here to start or be cut. And again, if that's even possible, I think he's here to play. Elliott's in Cranston. Go ahead, Elliott.
Hey, so Newton is definitely starting for two reasons. Last year, the biggest problem on the offense was that the receivers couldn't get open. Newton gives receivers a chance to get open because he can evade the defense. Secondly, he's here because Bill Belichick's number one threat this year is Tom Brady. So it's more of like, I need to win as much as possible, so I need to have the best quarterback as possible, and that's Cam Newton. Third, he's also chasing Don Shula. So he can't let a year go wasted if he's going to eventually overcome Don Shula.
Okay, so again, which means he didn't think he could win as much with Stidham, right? So again, to me, there is a Stidham element to all of that. Murray, the idea of the arms race between Brady and Belichick, you know, one's trying to one-up the other. You buy into that a little, right?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I think that there could be something to be said for Bill looking down south there that couple of weeks that Brady's posting every single day on Instagram using the FDR quotes, look how hard I'm working out. It's a more dedicated Tom Brady that Bill hasn't seen in years. And I think that this separation is going to also light a fire under both of their asses. Brady has proven that. And then I think Bill did his part, you know, following that with signing Cam Newton. I think that there is something in play there, yeah.
I mean, Michael Lombardi clearly agrees with you because recently Michael Lombardi, and I think he was on with, is it Pat McAfee?
Probably, yeah.
Right? He was on with McAfee where he said he thought Antonio Brown was going to Tampa. And he said that part of the reason he believed that is because Brady looked up and saw Cam Newton go to the Patriots and said, okay, well, you know what? You're going to do that. We're going to do this.
Just to add fuel to the fire, Antonio Brown just posted him in a Patriots jersey on Instagram about 10 minutes ago.
So Murray was looking that up, too, which brings us to Max in Walpole. Go ahead, Max. What do you got?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say about he just put a picture in a – yeah, try it again. He just posted a picture of himself in a Patriots jersey, and I was just wondering what you guys take on if – he would ever come back to the past and work with Cam.
Okay, Max, thanks for the call.
Considering everything that he said on his way out, no. How he trashed Robert Kraft, I can't see how that would happen. But and so with the post.
So again, I was just going to ask you this. Is there any text with it, Mark?
There's just one, the police car light emoji, you know, like the rotating beacon, like the woo-woo, which to my knowledge, and correct me if I'm wrong, Joe, you're as plugged in on social media as I am. But is that like, oh, look at this.
Man, look at this.
Yeah, is that usually what it means? Yeah. So, I don't know, you post something like that, I think that gets Patriots.
I usually think that's the breaking news sounder.
Okay, yeah. So
the siren.
Oh, here we are. Oh, look at madness is happening.
Yes. Hot take police.
Yeah.
It's a thirst trap.
It's right. And so it's AB from last September in the Patriots uniform, the one game against Miami. Is he maybe coming back to the Patriots? Maybe that's what he's trying to tell us. I can't see that happening.
I mean, I can't imagine that it would happen. I can't imagine they would try to bring him back here after the disaster that thing was. It'd be a good way to stick it to Brady, though, wouldn't it?
Oh, for sure. Yeah,
you're Belichick.
If you believe in that arms race, which I do think there is some reality to that, sure. But I just don't see how the organization lets that happen.
Well, and Bill, especially when Tom Brady wants to be Antonio Brown's life coach.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, that you know, if...
So maybe Bill if Bill prevents that from happening, like, you can't have him.
I'll tell you what, if Bill brings in Antonio Brown, then I'll really start to buy into that whole arms race thing. Boy, would that be sticking it to Brady. James and Newton on Cam Newton. Go ahead.
So Newton starts game one, and what most want to see about Cam Newton is a short passing game. So the secret to the past success is 10 targets to Julian Edelman, 7 receptions. If he does that, he'll be fine. But if they go 5-5, you can see Stidham in game two. And then the last second point is, if Newton has a good season, he's going to be a comeback player of the year. So if he wins the AFC East in a playoff game, he's going to get $30 million a year. The Pats aren't going to pay that, and they're going to walk away, and somebody else will pay that. That's all I got.
Yeah, so James, I'll tell you what, and Joe Murray brought this up earlier, and I meant to follow up on it because I think it's a good point. The fact that the Patriots can franchise Newton, they might do it, but they'll trade him. They won't keep him. And maybe that was part of the deal. Maybe that was Bill saying to the agent, I don't know who Newton's agent is, or to the player himself, well, look, if we're going to invest in this, we want to keep the right to franchise him. I mean, maybe they asked for it to be taken out so that Newton could hit the market if he has a good year. And Bill says, well, no, but do this for me. If we're going to take the chance, if he is going to use us to rebuild his career and then get on the market and get a big payday, that's fine. We're okay with that because we're looking at it the same way. We get something out of that too. But we want to have the right to trade him. You know, we'll work with you on that so that if there's a team that's interested, they'll take on that franchise salary. He'll get his $32, $33 million, whatever the number is now. You know, it's 32, 31 and change, I think, at the moment, but whatever it is at the end of next season. He'll get that money, and we'll get something out of it because we invested the time in getting him back. We want to be able to get something out of it. And so I do wonder if, I can't imagine that they would pay him that money. I mean, if they weren't going to franchise Tom Brady, are they going to franchise Cam Newton?
Only to trade him.
I mean, Murray, do you think they would franchise Newton?
No, I don't.
Do you think they would franchise him to trade him?
Maybe. Yeah, maybe to get some compensation back, sure.
I mean, to me,
but it wouldn't be to keep him for 2021, no.
I mean, I don't think that they would pay him either. I have a hard time believing that they would give him that kind of money. Final Word is here. That's next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Well, Final Word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Looking for the best deal on tires? There's only one place to go. Town Fair Tire. The best prices, great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
All right, Maz. We've made it through another show today. I'll be back in the hot box one more time tomorrow.
Oh, right. The Crystal Chamber.
So hopefully you don't, punch the glass at me tomorrow or get angry with me again.
The hot box. I like that, too. That gets probably better, huh?
Yeah, I like it. I like it in there.
You like hot box, Murray?
I think I like hot box.
Yeah, hot box is good.
So, Maz, we are going to go back in time here. 2015. And we are going to just look at the places that Maz is out on across the country.
That Skyline Chili, you're not wrong about, though. It's disgusting.
Please. Yeah,
they put it on spaghetti. It's got, like, cinnamon in it. And then they put that pubic-looking cheese stack on top. It's disgusting.
Ew.
That city's bad.
Ugh.
It's an armpit. You're not wrong.
Gross.
And it's the way people talked about the chili in Cincinnati, like ahead of time, you'd think you were going to like Florence to get the Alfredo sauce.
It's slop.
You know? And then they serve it to you and you're like, what is this pile of dog food you're giving me? Like you're pouring a bunch of Alpo on some spaghetti and I'm supposed to get excited about it? You got a least favorite American city, Murray?
I'm going to say Jacksonville, Florida. But Jacksonville is, it's hillbillies, a Maxwell House factory, a Hooters, and a half hour to any decent beach. It's terrible. That they have an NFL franchise is mind-blowing.
Listen, to me, as far as I'm concerned, you could take a chainsaw, cut off the whole state of Florida, and let it float out into the Caribbean. I'd be fine with it.
Even Miami?
See, I hate Miami.
Oh.
Please. Miami. Southern, the warm weather cities, generally, to me, like Loserville. It is a dump. I hate Miami. Electric. I hate L.A. I hate Miami. I generally hate the whole state of Texas. Anywhere.
Yeah, L.A. is pretty bad. I'll give you that.
Yeah. I'll tell you what. You know, to Phoenix, I developed a rapid distaste for that city, too. Like, it's something about the warm weather cities.
Don't go this time of year.
I've said to you, I would have no issue if they took Connecticut and just cut it out of the six-state region of New England, made it five states.
Yeah.
Because Connecticut's really part of New York, if you ask me. So they can have Connecticut. Just get me one of those biggest chainsaw you can find, and let's surgically remove the entire state of Florida. Cut it right off and let it float down toward the equator. Fine by me. Phoenix is a hellhole.
Yeah, not great.
Phoenix is, that place is a hellhole. That's a rat hole. I didn't realize how much of a rat hole that is until I went there for the Super Bowl for the first time.
You enjoyed Miami this last go around.
I did.
The Super Bowl, right?
Yeah, I did. I have to admit, Miami's grown on me a little bit.
Yeah.
L.A., I think, sucks lemons. I can't stand L.A. L.A. drives you like L.A.
I would move there tonight. Well, pre-COVID, I would have moved there tonight. But,
yeah, Altry, you're changing the way you think about things now, Mark?
Yeah, if there's been one real change for me is that, you know, I'm like city guy. I've always been like, want to live in a city, you know, L.A., Chicago. If you're going to live in Boston. Now, I mean, if I ever hit, you know, Mega Millions or anything like that, I'm just buying like a ranch in the middle of nowhere.
You going to Utica?
Yeah, pretty much.
Something like that? Rochester?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.